This is CBS Eye on the World with Malcolm Holmline, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The election in Brazil is decided. Lula da Silva, two-time president of Brazil, has returned for his third term. What does this mean for Brazil, and especially in terms of international security, because of the very strong reporting by our guest, Joseph Umar, and his colleagues about bad actors in the region for some time, led by Hezbollah and other attendant organizations connected in some fashion both to narco-terrorism and to Tehran, add Moscow, add Managua, add Caracas. Joe, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining us. In specific, what does Lula da Silva mean for Hezbollah in Brazil, in the region? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Malcolm. This is a tremendous turn of events for Iran, for Hezbollah, for Hamas, for many of the Middle Eastern actors that have been looking to regain lost ground inside South America, particularly in Brazil. They've had an entrenched presence in Brazil for many years. There's a large Lebanese expat community in Brazil, and Hezbollah has been active with it. But the Bolsonaro government has been very careful to not allow that movement to grow, to essentially look at Iran more as what most of countries in the world look at it, as a tyrannical regime, as an autocratic regime. They did not try to increase the relationship with Iran until very recently with the fertilizers, but that's a separate issue. And I think now with Lula da Silva, it's going back to the future, basically. They had a prior existing relationship. Lula da Silva was one of the most ardent supporters of Iran in Latin America. He voted consistently on their side in votes within the UN. He recognized he's one of the few countries in Latin America that gives a full diplomatic recognition to the Palestinian authorities, and by extension has turned a blind eye to terrorist groups such as Hamas and Hezbollah. And this is actually something I want to share with you guys, because I know this from firsthand research that we've done in the tri-border area, and that's partially in Brazil, which is there's been already an effort for several weeks to essentially change the narrative about Hezbollah in the tri-border area, to essentially make that a false narrative, that that's not a real problem for Brazil, and it's just an agenda of the United States and Israel to impose upon Brazil's sovereign nation. Now, we know that the facts don't add up. Hezbollah is very active in the tri-border area, and the Brazilians know that as well, but they've already started to insert this narrative, almost anticipating a Lula victory.
Malcolm.
That really puts into focus the concern about the international implications of the election. But also, what about the context of the other elections that have taken place, Colombia, Chile, the trend in South America as a whole? Is this a clean sweep for them? I think this which would impose tremendous security concerns for the United States, or should.
Well, yeah, Malcolm, this rounds out the three major actors in Latin America, which is Argentina, Brazil, and Mexico. These are the three largest countries in terms of GDP and population. And all three are under governments right now that are at the minimum sympathetic to Iran, and in some cases, perhaps completely starting to get aligned with Iran. And that's not to even mention the real autocracies in Latin America, which are the Venezuelas, the Cubas, Nicaraguas, and Bolivias, who are, you know, basically built their countries as bases for not just Iran, Russia, China. And then all that kind of plays into this effect. Matter of fact, while the Brazil election is taking place, and while, you know, there's still a lot of protests and movement and, you know, mobilizations on the streets, the current president of Colombia, Mr. Gustavo Petro, went to Caracas, Venezuela, to meet with Nicolas Maduro. Now, why does that matter? It matters because Venezuela is Iran's top partner in Latin America, one of its top partners in the world. And they're extending that influence over to its neighboring countries, including Gustavo Petro in Colombia. So to your point and to your question, Malcolm, it's spreading. Iran's presence, Iran's influence is going to spread. And as these socialist populist leaders in Latin America continue to gain power, that's a tremendous opportunity for Iran.
And they are anti-U.S., right?
Yes, yes. I mean, well, you know, so the thing is, they try to pretend in the beginning that they have a friendly posture with the United States, that I think State Department often looks for openings to be able to engage their governments. But through time and through actions, and we've seen this story play out time and again in Latin America, they distance their foreign policy to the United States and open their doors to countries like Iran, Russia, and China.
Joseph, we have a big election in 23 as well, Argentina. Does this connect in some fashion to those choices that... That's a country that's deeply troubled by economic issues. Is it also likely that Hezbollah will make gains in Argentina in this next election?
John, Argentina is our last hope, really, in South America. then I'm a bit optimistic, hopefully cautiously optimistic, because the opposition movements to the current government, the government right now in Argentina is a China-friendly government. It is not an Iran-friendly government openly, because they can't be, because they got Argentina's been attacked multiple times by Hezbollah and Iran. But there's questions as to whether they're being harsh on Iran or being vigilant on Iran, especially when there's planes that are managed by IRGC pilots that land in their country almost with no consequence. That said, the election is going to be very important, because I think the opposition in Argentina is a lot stronger than other oppositions in Latin America. They, up until this point, appear to be unified. They're going to be having a primary in December, which is going to show us who the presidential contenders are going to be. And if they're the people I think are going to be, they're going to give a very strong competition against whoever the Alberto Fernandez or the Kirchner part of the country wants to put up as a candidate. So that's going to be really the last hope for South America.
And you noted that Mr. Fernandez, the president of Argentina, was quick to hug Lula da Silva the day after his victory. So I can expect that that will be part of the conversation. Lula da Silva would favor the continuation of this government, correct?
No, absolutely. Not only hug him, he literally traveled to Brazil to give a personal hug to Lula da Silva. I mean, Lula da Silva is essentially a symbolic leader. I don't think he's at the same level of faculties that he once had, so he's not going to be able to do the level of momentum that he once pushed in Latin America. But as a symbol, he's very big. Not to mention, he was twice convicted of massive public corruption and incarcerated and sentenced for that. Only reason he's allowed to run for president was because he got off on a technicality. And people are ignoring that fact, but it's a fact. It's there. I mean, the U.S. Department of Justice still considers those indictments valid inside Brazil.
Malcolm?
They were never rescinded. He just got out, as you said, technicality in order to run, but the charges against him are still there. Yeah. So let me ask you about talking about the judges in Argentina. They ordered the release of the last crew members from the MTrustur Venezuelan airplane that we've discussed over the months here on this program. What is the status now? And is the pilot, who I know was an IRGC pilot, Iran Revolutionary Guard pilot, formerly, has he been released as well?
Yes, Malcolm. Unfortunately, all the 19 flight crew, Venezuelan and Iranian, have been released. They've all left the country. There's one interesting point on this. When the 14 initial flight crew were released about a month ago, and then a couple weeks ago, the remaining five were released, which include mostly the Iranians, especially the two that the pilot and co-pilot that were belonged to the IRGC. But interestingly, instead of going back to Iran or going to Venezuela, which was their home base, they went to Bolivia. And then they stayed in Bolivia for a few days before they took off. That was very interesting to me. And then the other part to this, Malcolm, is that, you know, the only leverage that continues to remain for the Department of Justice or the Argentine courts is the plane. The plane is still seized by federal authorities in Argentina and is stuck in Argentina. Iran and Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela have made a lot of fuss about getting the plane back.
Joseph, final 30 seconds. Is there any indication in the tri-border region that they're strengthened by Lula da Silva, or is that just too much anarchy there to care about any particular president?
No, John, they're going to be strengthened by Lula da Silva. I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, Lula da Silva already has proven connections to criminal apparatuses inside the country. Hezbollah, obviously, is one of the bigger ones inside that has connections to other transnational criminal organizations. And I think that's going to play itself out in the tri-border area. And then let me just end with one thought. The one thing that I'm really worried about in terms of Hezbollah is I think Lula pushed for an effort to remove the terrorist designations that was so hardly worked on by Latin American governments. Five countries in Latin America have designated Hezbollah as a terrorist group. And I believe Lula may try to push to remove those designations in countries that are friendly to them.
Joseph Umar, the Executive Director of Secure Free Society, Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,